Now let's continue on and see how this process of God's Spirit working with us, with His laws. Now, it's not just a mental thing only. It involves our whole being. So let's come to Matthew 22 and let's see what the most important thing is. Out of all of this, out of everything that's in the Bible, here is the foundation built on the foundation of Christ right here in Matthew 22. Let's pick it up here in verse 35. Now, the different ones of the Sadducees and Pharisees were always trying to catch him in something. So here comes one, verse 35, and one of them, a doctor of the law. He's the one who is the high mucky muck among the rabbis, doctor of the law. Questioned him, tempting him, and saying, I can almost hear the tone, Master, which commandment is the great commandment in the law? See, because they wanted to catch him on something. Now, for everyone who believes or have believed in the past that the law was done away, pay attention to what we're going to cover. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God. Now notice how full time this is. How much is required of you? Now why would God require all of this of you? Well, you need to understand what was required of God for Christ to come, who was the creator of mankind, and to lay down his life as a sacrifice for the payment for our sins. Did he lay it all on the line? Yes, he did, for all of us. And it's applied individually. God is so great that it's applied individually, just like every one of us. Now, a little sidebar here, and this blows my mind every time I try and think about it, every time I try and understand it, but there are some things we just can't understand, but we can think about, and it helps us appreciate God even more. Okay, all of us have 22 chromosomes, plus one. All the genes and chromosomes were compacted into your conception, seed from your father, egg from your mother. And from that, you became a human being, created by God, right in the body of your mother, through his spirit. And he's given you everything because in him we live and move and have our being. Okay. How? And I can't answer the question, so this is just a rhetorical thing that I suppose when we get to the resurrection, God will tell us. But how do our genes and chromosomes, and interesting, another sidebar on the sidebar, in the Hebrew alphabet, there are 22 letters. We have 22 chromosomes from mother and father, okay? The 23rd one is either male or female gene, okay? The rest of it, the same, okay? God is so great that there are no two human beings exactly alike, not even identical twins. There's some little variation between them, okay? Since God has given that to us, and he uses that, how is that going to be transformed at the resurrection into a spirit body? Spirit, mind. Okay? I don't know. But I think about the greatest things that God has done, the smallest things that God has done, and it's all perfect. Okay? So back here. All right? God made this creation, everything for us. He has given everything, so he desires everything back. And the greatest thing that we can do is receive the love of God and love God back. Okay, so he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. That involves all your emotion. With all your soul. That's all your physical being. Okay? And with all your mind. Because your thoughts now become the thoughts of Christ. Are we not to develop the mind of Christ? We'll see that. Yes. See? Okay. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, would the world be a different place if that were done, right? Yes, indeed. Now notice verse 40, because this becomes a key on how then God changes us to overcome the sin within and put his mind, his righteousness in our lives. See? He's going to write his laws in our minds and inscribe them upon our hearts. Okay? Verse 40. On these two commandments hang all, notice, all the law and the prophets. All of it. Now let's come to Psalm 19. Let's see why this is so important, combining the two together. We have seen God's response to us to help us. Psalm 19. Now we are going to see what God gives us in return. Okay? Psalm 19. Now let's just pick it up in verse 1 because this becomes important. And I'm going to have to give some sermons on the Lord's Prayer. You look at the prayer there in Matthew 6. You do not find one me, my, or I. Think about that. Okay? Now let's go on. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the earth is in such a unique position in the universe that we're one of the few places, if not the only place in the universe, where we can see as much of the universe as we can. And the firmament, that's the whole universe as you look out there, proclaims his handiwork. Now, yesterday I got an email from a man who was complaining that spending $600 million to get this new replacement of Hubble up into space and into position was a real waste of money. So I wrote him back and I said, well, from that perspective, it could be considered a waste of money. But think of it this way, that God caused all that technology to be. He gave the men the understanding to get that thing up in the air after they built it. And we get all these glorious pictures of what the universe is like. And what do we have? We have a witness from God. How great that he is. How great his creation is. So I said, think of it this way. God inspired $600 million of our worthless Federal Reserve notes to be used to do all of this as a witness for all human beings. Because every time you see those pictures, they are just, okay? Proclaim his handiwork. Day after day, they pour forth speech, and night after night, they reveal knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Everyone on earth can look out there and see the heavens, okay? Now, we also have some technology, which I think is very important as well. We can actually see the pictures of what it's like out there, and they know that if the speed of light is consistent with what our measurements of the speed of light is, 186,000 miles per second, that those are trillions of years old. Isn't that amazing? Their line has gone throughout all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man set to run a race. Its going forth is from one end of heaven, and his circuit to the other end. They knew the world was round, okay? There is nothing hidden from its heat. All right, in the light of that, let's read on. And let's see why it's so important and so spiritual that we have the laws of God written in our minds and in our hearts. It's the best thing that could ever happen to us. So let's read it. The law of God is perfect. He didn't give something imperfect. Restoring the soul, it makes us revived. Just like Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's why we study the Word of God. That's why we study the laws of God. That's why we study the statutes of God. Now, since we're here in Psalm 19, in your notes, write 19 down again, but this time put a number 1 in front of 19 and you get 119, and you study Psalm 119. That is an awesome psalm. It's long, longest one in all the psalms, 176 verses. And by the way, it's broken down into 22 sets of 8 verses apiece, according to the Hebrew alphabet. And you look at that, and it's mind-boggling just to read it, but all the singers in the temple had to memorize it. And where you see that little Hebrew character above the section of 8 verses. In Hebrew, every verse started out with that letter. And it shows the greatness of the laws of God, the testimonies of God, the righteousness of God, the goodness of God. Okay? Now continuing here. The precepts of the Lord are right. That's why God hates religion, where they take the things of God, supposedly representing God, go to people and have it mixed with lies, so therefore the truth is no longer truth. Or right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure. Think what it would be if all the world kept the 10 commandments of God, even in the letter of the law. Wouldn't that be something? Yes, it would. Now here's what it does for us. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So what is God giving us? Well, today you see all these ads on television, you know, buy gold, buy silver, the dollar's worthless. Okay. And gold and silver represent wealth to us. But I want you to think on this. Verse 10. More to be desired than gold, yea, much fine gold. Now that's what God is giving to us. See? Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Now here's what it does for us. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. Oh, your inner voice. We all have an inner voice. You talk to yourself. You do talk to yourself, don't you? You don't talk to yourself? I do. I even answer back. Sometimes out loud. Okay? And God's spirit is there, and you start doing something that isn't right. Bang! Thought comes up. Oh, don't do that. Okay? You're warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. And remember, we are judged by our works. And we are rewarded by our works, see? Who can understand his errors? Now here comes the point of changing the mind, see? Because the human carnal mind cannot understand its own way. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, okay? Even the things they do wrong, they think are right. And I think most of those people are in government and in religion. All right. In keeping them, there's great reward. Who can understand his errors? No one can, except through the law of God. Now notice verse 12, last part. Oh, cleanse me from my secret faults. See? Those things up here that you alone know. This is why when you pray and ask for forgiveness before God, you go to God directly, because he's dealing with you directly. And he knows your heart and your mind. See, this is why confessing your sins to a priest is so futile. You ask someone who's been a lifelong Catholic and ask them, did you really ever tell the priest everything you did? Oh, I'd never get out of there from doing Hail Marys and Our Fathers, going around the beads. okay? Secret faults. Verse 13, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins, those spur-of-the-moment things. Do not let them rule over me. Notice how this ties in, as we will see in the New Testament. Paul says that if you have the Spirit of God and you're under grace, sin shall not rule over you. Doesn't say that you don't have sin to fight against, but it doesn't rule over you, because you can say no. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God and my Redeemer. Okay? All right, let's see some of the other things that we need to do so that we can change. Let's come to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians 4. Now let's pick it up here in verse 17. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Now verse 17. So then I declare and testify this in the Lord, that you are no longer to walk even as the rest of the Gentiles are walking, in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened. See, now the Spirit of God opens your mind. The Word of God opens your mind. Combined together, it brings you the truth. Those who reject it and are cut off because of disobedience, they become blind. Their minds are darkened. They have no truth in them. Okay? Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their hearts. They have cast off all feelings and have given themselves up to licentiousness, to work every uncleanness with insatiable desire. Now think about the dedication that people have toward that kind of evil. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him, isn't that interesting? It doesn't say heard of him. You have heard him. How do you hear Jesus? Through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, and have been taught in him according to the truth in Jesus. That concerning your former conduct, you see, what God is going to put in, then there's something we need to get rid of. Put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, as we saw. The human heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Now, I think we're going to see this take place even more when we understand what things are going to happen, because if we fall off the fiscal cliff, you might do well to recall the riots in Greece, because I think in some of the cities, it's going to be that way. See, the politicians are not honest. They need to tell all of those who are seeking entitlements and wanting handouts, they need to tell them, now look, you have a choice. We can continue to give them to you now, but they will be cut off sooner or later. And when it happens later, there will be nothing, absolutely nothing. San Jose, San Diego, St. Louis, Missouri, Chicago, Illinois, are looking at bankruptcy, all because of pensions. And yet the unions are so selfish and greedy, they won't give an inch, so they're going to lose all, like the little town of Pritchard, Alabama. They ran out of money. They stopped paying the pensions for the teachers, the firemen, the policemen, and they all came and demanded that they be paid. And the city council said, we are out of money. Well, what did you do with it? Well, you got so much in pension benefits and the income has been going down that we simply ran out. Now, what if that happens on a national scale? Think of that. Okay? So they're going to have all of these things here. They are going to riot. They are going to demand. They are going to rob. They are going to loot. And that's the time we need the protection of Psalm 91. Actually, we need it all the time, but particularly at that time, see. All right. So we are to get rid of all of those things. So here's what we are to do. We're to put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That is conversion. That is changing your thoughts. And with God's Spirit and God's Word, it can be done. Now hold your place right here, and let's come to Romans 12. Let's see how Paul wrote of it there. Romans, the 12th chapter. So here is the solution. God has given the answer on how to handle the carnal mind, on how to overcome the deceitfulness of the heart, how to get your thoughts squared around. What do you put into your mind to change it? Romans 12, Romans 12, verse 1. Here's what Paul wrote to them. Very similar to it, see? Verse 1. I exhort you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not conform yourselves to this world. That's why we're told in 1 John 2:15, don't love the world, the things in the world. It's all the pride of life and lust. Okay? But be transformed, that's conversion, by the renewing of your mind in order that you may prove. See, that's how you know God is working and it's right. You do this to prove what is well-pleasing and good in the perfect will of God. Okay? All right, back to Ephesians, the 4th chapter again. Ephesians 4, verse 23. That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which according to God is created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. See, what is God doing in your mind? He is creating. Think of that. See, creation didn't end at conception and birth, or growing to being an adult. God's creating is going on in us. And of course, as I said, the world cannot see that. Okay? Verse 25, therefore, let each one put away lies, showing we have to overcome, and speak the truth with his neighbor, because we're members of one another. Now then, it shows the change in conduct, and we have to be reminded of these things, because in overcoming the law of sin and death within us, we have those sins that pop up, and we do them. We don't intend to do them. We're not out viciously to do them, but they happen. And sometimes they can be very offensive too. Okay? So he says, verse 26, when you become angry, do not sin. Now that's a good one to try. Okay? Do not let the sun go down on your anger, because you ain't going to sleep that night if you do. Okay? Now, if you're lying in bed, tossing and turning because you're angry about something or upset about something, well, instead of lying in bed, tossing and turning, pop out of bed and get on your knees and pray about it to God and ask him to give you some good sleep and go back to bed. All of your worrying and all of your fighting and all of your mental joshing back and forth concerning any situation is not going to change it. But prayer can. Now notice what he says here, verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Now, how do you give place to the devil? By going contrary to what we have just read here. Because Satan wants to come along and say, uh-oh, there it is, bang, I'll get him. The one who stole, steal no more. Rather let him labor with his hands, working at what is good, so that he may impart something to the one who has need. Do not let any evil communication come out of your mouth. Now, that's a challenge, isn't it? Yes, indeed. But let that which is good and needful for edification, that it may give grace to those who hear, do not vex the Holy Spirit. I think in our earlier translation, we may have had, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How does that work? If you start doing things contrary to the Holy Spirit and it's within you, you're working at cross purposes. So I suppose cross purposes would be even a better way to explain it in English today. Do not be at cross purposes with the Holy Spirit of God, by which you have been sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and indignation, wrath, clamor, and evil speaking be removed from you, together with all malice. Now, that's a real change in action, behavior, and human nature, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Now, this is why we have trials come up. Just like, you know, if you realize you're impatient, of course, none of us are impatient, but if you realize you're impatient and you lost your temper or something, and you pray and ask God, help me, oh Lord, help me to have patience and all of this sort of thing. And as I've mentioned before, you get up from the prayer and all of a sudden you're confronted with a situation that requires patience. Maybe you fail. Maybe you got to repent and go at it again. Maybe you succeed, but nevertheless, keep at it. Okay? Verse 32, and be kind and tenderhearted toward one another, forgiving one another, even as God has also in Christ forgiven you. Now we will end with verse 1 of chapter 5, and we'll pick it up there next time. Here is the overall solution. Okay? Verse 1. This will give you a lot to think on. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. So with God's Spirit, God's law, God's blessing, we're to imitate God. Now, he wants us to be his Spirit children. That's why we're to imitate him. So this is how you overcome the sin within. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.